This is Hit Bull Win Podcast,
the official podcast of the Durham Bulls,
part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Howdy. Welcome to another episode of Hit Bull Win Podcast. Got a doozy for you today.
Lots of information.
Someone that has been mentioned on the podcast dozens of times has finally agreed to come on.
Mm-hmm.
Paxton Rembus, our graphic designer, the better half of Durham Bulls creative department. If you've been around the ballpark, you've seen him with a camera. Big old bald head. Great value, Mike Brasso. He is on, but right now we'll give a little introduction. My name is Patrick Norwood. I am the video and digital production manager here with the Durham Bulls. I am joined by my podcast associate, Scott Strickland, assistant general manager, operations. Scott, how are we doing today?
We're doing well. It's warming up.
Happy
Baseball's
Friday.
Baseball's on our mind. It's going to be a great weekend here at the ballpark.
Huge weekend at the ballpark.
When are we posting this? When are you posting this?
That'll be today. Friday, what's today, the 18th?
Okay.
Friday the 18th, yeah.
So in theory, our listeners could have three opportunities to see some great baseball at the DBAT. Duke squaring off against the Tar Heels from Chapel Hill. And should be a great weekend.
It's going to be a good weekend. I know March Madness is on everybody's mind, but don't discount, you know, flip it on your phone and come out to the ballpark. Why not?
Yep. You could also watch the Deeks in the NIT.
You could.
Yep.
I don't know how many are, but you could do that.
Yep.
Sorry about the NIT, buddy.
It's okay.
That's rough. It's okay. I don't think Bama's winning today.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. This is Hit Bull Win Podcast, our minor league baseball podcast. If you've never listened before, we just like interviewing people around the ballpark in the organization, chatting it up, talking about things. As music starts leaking in, and I don't know why, but that's okay.
At 11:25.
At 11:25 on a Friday.
I think this is kind of cool. I think our fans can connect with this. I might be making too much of a little thing here.
Go ahead.
I think that's Duke turning their music on way early because they are jacked for this weekend.
Because they're jacked to be here. Yeah, no, I think you're right because they're turning up the boards right now.
Yeah. And our fans should be in the – I know I am for our season. I'm in that mode right now.
Yes.
I'm jacked.
Yes. I'm ready. I'm like – I don't want to say anxious. I'm antsy, right? Like I'm sitting there like, oh, gosh. I just want to shoot sports again.
Yep.
I love all the videos we get to do here in the off season. But I always hit like March 1, and I'm like, okay.
Would it surprise you that the song that's playing right now is one of the numerous songs I've downloaded in my iTunes?
I'm shocked you know how to download songs to your iTunes.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna cut this intro short because we got a great interview. It's a little bit of a longer one, but you're going to want to listen, especially at the end, for a great story of friendship, trials, tribulations, and fishing with Paxton Rembus. We'll be right back. Here now with Paxton Rembus,
Mike Brasso.
Yeah, great. He's a lot of names on this podcast.
We have two people as guests today, Mike Brasso and Patrick Rembus.
Yes.
Patrick Rembus.
Dude, you nailed it. Don't worry. We've only worked together for 2 years now. Paxton, interesting case of when you started. You started late 2019, early 2020, post-graduation? Or you came up here for like 2 days right before you graduated college?
98% graduated.
Yes.
I think I accepted.
We were on the way out the door.
Late November, so I had like two or three weeks left of class.
Yep.
Had to do a little switching around with the finals. Moved here a week before my final exam week was supposed to be.
Yep.
Took my finals early. Loaded up the car. Drove down here without ever visiting Durham before. Had been to the state of North Carolina once, briefly.
For what?
I think just driving through on the way to another vacation.
He's just a traveling
man.
We're
a pass-through.
That's it. Yeah. We're a flyover state.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Ironically, he's from Ohio.
Shout out Gary Allen.
So, yeah. Took finals a week early, moved down here, worked for a week, drove back to Ohio, walked to graduation.
Yep.
Drove back here, worked for a week, drove back to Ohio for Christmas.
You lived in Fuquay then, too.
Yeah, I was crashing on a couch in Fuquay.
Someone you knew or just random
couch?
Yeah,
someone I knew.
He just knocked on the door and they were nice.
Just to give me a little bit of time to figure out where I wanted to plant my roots.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good.
And how'd that first season go for you?
It was great. It was a redshirt year.
he was a medical redshirt even though nothing was wrong.
Yeah, it was a redshirt year, so.
Debatable.
I feel like I did nothing and then I did all the things all in the same year.
Yeah.
I did nothing that has to do with a normal season of working in baseball, but I did everything that has to do with working through a global pandemic with a sports team, which was just figuring out and making it up as we went.
Do you remember kickball day when we went and played kickball at the DAP?
I remember making an outstanding catch down the left field line.
I remember having three home runs that day because I've got wheels, boy.
No big deal.
Wheels.
No big deal.
That was the day Paxton got hired.
Yeah.
And Amy walked out and was like, "You should feel really good about this kid. Like, he's going to be good." And I was like, "Okay, what's he like? Where's he from?" And she was like, "He's the one that he's graduating." And I was like, "Oh, when did he graduate?" And she's like, "No, he graduates in a couple weeks." I was like, "That's too young."
Future tense.
He's not going to be ready. That's too young. And then he came in and he was great.
Do you remember how you performed in the kickball game?
He had just gotten hired, dude. Like, that was the day we called
Mike,
him to let him
Mike
know.
Called
so
me.
He wasn't here that day.
Right.
Correct. Mike called me mid kickball game. I could hear a kickball game going on in the background.
Okay.
So I made my decision.
If this podcast's true purpose is to give people an insight of what it's like working in minor league baseball, that sentence explains
I got
it.
Offered
you
my
got
job
offered
during a kickball game. Yes.
From our VP of baseball during a kickball game. Where Andrew Green almost took his head off too.
Yes.
Social media manager. Just line drive right at the... But you're right. You did have a great catch, by the way. I don't want that to go underappreciated.
I was hugging the line.
Yep.
Due to the athletic abilities of myself.
Pull hitters.
Yeah. And the batter. So, yeah.
Yep.
That was fun. That was a fun day.
It was a fun day. But Paxton. All right. So, for those of you who don't know, Paxton takes most of our photos here, does all of our still graphics. He is the other half of our creative department. We've always said if it's still, Paxton does it. If it moves, I do it. Motion graphics and video. So, Paxton, Paxton is in the trenches with me more than anybody, right? This is my guy. I feel like everybody, if we've got a buddy system in the office, I am responsible for Paxton, right?
Are you going to tear up?
For better or for worse.
Yeah, that's it. No, not at all. It's a grind, Scott.
Through health and through sickness.
The emotional time is after the season. This is the let's get ready. We've got Media Day coming up.
Yep.
We should probably talk about Media Day at some point, Scott.
There have been some conversations about it.
That's good.
Perhaps going to be two different types of media days.
Yes.
So
I like that. Yep. I like that. Media Day last year was awesome. Because Paxton and I could not be in the same room.
That's correct.
Had to be on opposite sides of the clubhouse basement hallway area, we'll call it.
Sure. When you said awesome, I wasn't sure how much sarcasm.
It was like 50-50. Because
y'all had good signs. Y'all had
we had little walkways. I feel like we could have done really well with the hospital paint. That's follow the red one to get to emergency.
Yeah.
The blue one to get to the waiting area. Mm. I feel like we could have done that, but we didn't. We had signs. And so it started out, people would come to me, and then I'd send them to Paxton for photos.
Yep.
And that went great 3/4 of the day. The last quarter of the day, it was shotgun blasts. Whoever you get, right?
And there were a couple individuals who lost their way.
Yes. Completely walked outside of the ballpark.
Ways.
Yeah. One of them got locked out. I can't remember who it was, or let's call him out right now.
Brujan got a little lost. I remember that.
Yes.
Which was a great introduction to Brujan.
That's exactly. Yeah, that's perfect. By the way, lockout's over, boys.
Yeah.
How about that?
Didn't affect our opening day.
Did not affect opening day, April 12th, durhambulls.com/tickets. Pax, we brought you up many times on the podcast. You've listened to the podcast a lot.
A lot. What percentage would you say you've listened
to? I'd say
to?
Since he started 100%.
I feel like
episodes.
I'm the international man of mystery on the podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm referred to in Hipple when podcast canon a lot.
So
but
you're
like
the Kaiser Soze of the
Durham
Bulls.
No one really knows the origin story. And
So this is the reveal.
Yeah, this is
it. Yeah, somewhat.
This is it. What's been your favorite episode you've listened to so far? Tell us how good we are is what I'm asking right now.
I think... Y'all did an episode. What was the first episode you did during the season last year? Did you do one like the week after opening day?
That may have been that mailbag episode we did.
He's a big fan of the mailbag episode.
You don't like the mailbag episode?
No, I like it.
Oh, okay.
You guys did an episode either the week after opening day last year or the week before
that
opening
about
day.
Right. That timeline
last
sounds right.
Year.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it driving home. And you were talking about Patrick was talking about all the folks who had worked here over the past year and a half and had yet to see a Durham Bulls baseball game.
Yep.
And got me a little bit.
Yeah.
Got me a little bit.
Yeah.
It was pretty emotional just having that redshirt 2020 season where we didn't do what we exactly signed up for. And it was a lot of hard work to get to 2021 opening day, and to see it all come to fruition, it was definitely emotional.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. I remember that was one that kind of felt like the bookend that we did, because we did one right when COVID started, and it was like, we might be back in June.
Mm-hmm.
LOL.
Odd foreshadowing.
Two weeks later, it's like, Patrick, farewell. we'll see in September. But no, that was a good one. I kind of forgotten about that. But we bookended sort of our experience with not having a season, I think, with those two episodes.
I agree with
that. So let's get more into your role. And basically, you and I both get emails pretty much every 2 or 3 days. How do I get to do what you do? Can I come work for you guys? Looking for internships. So let's answer those questions right now. So that way we can just send people a link to the podcast instead of saying, no, we don't have any internships.
Drive viewership.
Or here's how I got into what. Yeah, right. Listenership, Scotty. Not a visual medium podcast.
Once we were.
Twice, sir. Twice? We did
Honey
two.
And what?
Did one Sully video? Nope. I'm making that up. Nope.
Yeah. Sully was in here, though.
Shout out Sully.
Yeah.
By the way, doing great for the Brewers.
His kid's like walking around fields and stuff.
That's
saw
crazy.
That yesterday.
That's great. That kid's grown
Instagram.
Up.
Instagram. The gram.
Grown up. So let's talk about, how did you get into graphic design? Why did you get into graphic design? And if someone's interested in doing that for a career, what advice would you give them?
I think growing up, I grew up in a really small town in Ohio. And I was always into art, always into being creative growing up. Art class was always my favorite class, but growing up in a small town, I don't think I ever really knew graphic design was even a career. And so going into college, I was like, I want to do something business field, but I want to be like on the creative side of business. So I found advertising as a major, and I was like, I feel like this is up my alley. I feel like it's not accounting.
The fact you're an advertising major kills me.
Mad Men.
Yeah. I was like, it's not accounting. Shout out to accounting. But I'm just not a numbers guy.
Jordan, Teresa, Nick.
It's the fun creative side of business. So went into the advertising program at Youngstown State. Go Penguins.
Go Gwens.
I think a year into being at school at YSU, I discovered that graphic design was actually a career, not just, you know, Photoshop wasn't just a program on your computer. You could actually like make a living at it.
Yeah.
So then I just kind of buried myself in that, taught myself a lot, watched a lot of YouTube videos, took some graphic design classes along with my advertising coursework at YSU. Eventually interned with the athletic department at school, did a whole bunch of internships in undergrad, kind of just took any opportunity that was available, went across the country working for a ton of baseball teams.
Rattle off your teams right quick. Hold on, this is gonna be fun. Scott, rattle off your baseball teams too.
Winston-Salem, Durham,
there we go.
Lima Locos, Johnson City Cardinals, now the Johnson City Doughboys. Goodyear Ballpark in Goodyear, Arizona, spring training home of the Cleveland Guardians and Cincinnati Reds. Fond du Lac Dock Spiders in Wisconsin.
Right.
What'd you call me?
Scott's face when you said the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders.
2018 Northwoods League champs. Shout out to the Spideys.
Yeah, dude.
And then,
what'd that ring look like?
Did they spell your name right on it?
I didn't get a ring.
Oh.
I don't have a ring, I should say.
Mm.
Different story.
I remember hearing a little bit about that.
And then Mahoning Valley Scrappers. So I think I had worked 5 baseball seasons by the time I graduated.
For 5 different teams.
For 5 different teams, correct.
That's wild.
Before I graduated.
Please tell the ring story. This is such a great one, because we're about to get championship rings, which you designed.
Yes. Yes, I helped design. I helped design. Yeah.
What's designing a championship ring like?
Difficult. Not exactly a
just
because
you hadn't
guy.
Done it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know what makes a good ring,
yeah,
a good necklace. Just not, I'm not a jewelry guy.
Scott's a big chain guy.
Big chain and pendant guy.
Big chain and pendant guy.
I don't own a single piece of jewelry.
Right.
So it was a lot of guesswork and help on the ring production company side of things. Like, hey, what do you guys normally do?
Yeah.
Did I get my ring back?
Definitely. Definitely.
For those of you who are not in the know on this conversation, which is everybody except the three of us sitting at this table.
Well, Paxton was referencing previous ring designs
right
to help design yes. the future ring? Current ring? I don't know how you would describe
most, it. The upcoming ring.
Yeah, and so we needed a visual. Yeah, I need to make sure I got my ring back. Anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, it was a lot of guesswork. I hope it comes out as good as we all hope it does.
Are you nervous?
Very nervous. Yeah. It was one of the hardest things I've ever designed in my life.
Why?
I just had zero...
He's not a jewelry guy. He just told you.
Not a jewelry guy. Had no prior experience designing a ring. I just like don't have a feel for jewelry.
You have designed t-shirts before, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that's like a ring.
So you've designed something that people would be wearing before.
Yes, but I wear t-shirts. I don't wear rings.
Okay.
Also, not everybody wears championship rings all the time. Everyone wears shirts all the time. Not all the time.
It is an extraordinarily niche thing to design.
Yeah. All right. So if we can do nervousness from 0 to 10, 0 obviously means you're not nervous. 10 being you're the most nervous you could possibly be. Where are you at on the rings?
Probably an 8.
I'm like a 4 for him.
For him? Yeah.
Because if somebody is like, oh, man, this is just not...
terrible design.
This is not good. That's crumbling.
Because in reality, for... how many people are getting rings? Probably there's like 80, 90 people total between players, staff, coaches. Those are things they're going to have for the rest of their life.
Yes.
It's probably one of the few things I'll design that someone will literally keep to the day they die.
Have you ever designed something that's been on eBay before?
That's a great question.
I sell his stuff all the time on eBay.
I don't think so.
This could be your first.
But someone I don't know how I would look into...
try to flip that ring.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
That's wild. You've had experience with rings, receiving them though.
Yes.
Before. What happened with your rings? This is one of my all-time favorites.
So prior to interning for the Youngstown State Athletic Department doing graphic design.
Go Gwens.
Go Gwens. I was a student equipment manager for the football team.
Sure.
So that's just setting up for practice, washing uniforms, traveling with the team.
For any of you college football fans, this is during the Bo Pelini tenure at Youngstown State.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So 2016, we go on a little postseason run.
Sure.
We make it to the FCS National Championship game in Frisco, Texas. We lose that game against the James Madison Dukes.
Somewhere Leslie Martin just cheering now that had to get brought up on the podcast.
Yep. So we lose that game, but we still ended up getting national championship runner-up rings.
How do you feel about that? A runner-up ring.
I probably should remain quiet.
No, I'll just go ahead and say it. I don't like it. Like, it's a reminder I lost, dude.
If you had, we were unseeded going into the playoffs. Like, we were not expected to
be
there.
Yeah, like the Cinderella story. Yeah, I could see that. Like, I could see that.
After winning one game, everything else was just gravy. So the following summer... in 2017, I was in Johnson City, Tennessee, working for the Cardinals, and I get a text from my boss at YSU like, hey, we just got our rings in. Awesome. Can you send me a picture of said ring? Sends me a picture of said ring. Sends me like two pictures, two different angles, and I look at it. I'm like, oh, that looks cool. Swipe to the next picture. Hey, Alvy. Shout out Alvy Armstrong, equipment manager at YSU.
Shout out, AA.
Ring looks great. Do you realize they spelled my last name wrong on the side of the ring?
That's tough.
Last name is Rembis, R-E-M-B-I-S. They spelled it Remus, R-E-M-I-S.
That's also not something you just take back to the store and get fixed right quick either. That is a ship. And you don't have it, right?
So I was like, hey, ring looks great, except it's spelled wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. We'll get it sent back.
It's really not that big of a deal.
In terms of getting a name fixed?
Yeah.
Probably.
But
probably. So I was told it was sent back to get fixed, and this was summer 2017, and I just never saw the ring ever again. So I never saw the ring in the first place. I saw a picture. I still have the picture of it, and that I think that's kind of
funny. You should just tape that, like print it out and then tape it to your ring, like a ring box.
This is going to be like the day that you get married, your best, or the night before you get married, your best man's going to be making a speech at Maggiano's Italy. I got a gift for you. And he's going to whip out a 2017 properly spelled.
Oh, that's going to be so Paxton. Good.
That'd be very impressive.
Paxton and Paxton's like, put this on instead of the wedding band tomorrow.
And then we crush.
That'd be an impressive gift.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Let's talk, I want to talk about two more things with you. One of them, and Scott, I want to get your opinion on this too.
Okay.
Getting out of a rut. This is something that Pax and I have talked about before.
Creative rut.
Creatively, when you're in a rut, Scott, come on now.
I'm listening.
Come on.
I'm listening.
Creatively, when you're in a rut or you have an issue, Scott, for you, it has been a week where 6, 7, 8 things have gone wrong at the ballpark.
Okay.
That's a normal week where 13, 14, 15 things have gone wrong at the ballpark. Sure. How do you get out of a rut? What is your strategy to say, okay, you know what? I don't like the way any of my stuff is looked lately, because I do this a lot where I will build out an entire project and then delete it because I just don't like the way it looks. How do you get out of that?
It's not an exact science. It's kind of just trying a couple things that have worked in the past. Sometimes it's as simple as going on a walk. Sometimes it's a change of scenery. You know, if we do meetings every single day in the PNC Triangle Club or the CBC Suite.
Great place for a meeting. Schedule yours now.
Great place for a meeting. But I'm a believer if you try to come up with ideas or you try to come up with creative concepts in the same way every single day, you're going to get the same results. So sometimes you just need to kind of throw a wrench into that system. You need to change the scenery. You need to go somewhere else to think, go somewhere else to work, you know, work from a different vantage point, and that can kind of change your perspective and you'll be back on a roll. But yeah, it's just, I think you just got to change something up. Obviously what you're doing at that time and moment isn't working. So you gotta change it up.
I think for me, cause I like that. I like the going on a walk, working in a new location. If you have a laptop, I like, one of my things I like doing is going away from my actual desk and just working on something for a bit. The other thing that I'll do is you have to be willing to sacrifice some of your time to do a project that it does not need to be done right now. If you know you're going to enjoy it, you're saving it for a later day for some reason, go ahead and knock it out, right? Get the creativity flowing, and that'll really help you sort of loosen up and get some other ideas. Scott, I wanted to ask you this question because I know you're not in the creative quote unquote field like we are, but I feel like you do have to get creative when you're stuck in a rut. So what is your process for that?
I'm going to give you a varying answers here. Right now, this time of year is probably a really good time to ask that type
for
of
sure.
question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things, one of the outlets, we'll use that term, that I have this time of year is we've got Duke going on. So this happened yesterday. I needed to get away for a second. And necessarily getting away didn't necessarily mean truly getting away. I just walked out, sat behind the first base dugout, and watched them take batting practice for 10 or 15 minutes. It's 68 degrees. Grass is starting to green up. Baseball's on our mind. They're out there in shorts and T-shirts. We got a beautiful weekend ahead of us. Good time to stop the negative thought and get the positive juices flowing.
Yeah.
To help you go back and solve whatever issue you're working on. Sometimes I literally drive to Cookout and get a chocolate milkshake.
Do you just go straight chocolate?
I just walk away from, push myself back from the desk. Now I will have to walk 1,000 steps to my vehicle.
Yeah.
Drive over there, chocolate milkshake, please. And then I usually can consume all of that from the time it takes me to pull out of their parking
lot. They go quick.
The time that I park at the shop or the North Deck.
Is a Cookout milkshake like emotional Tylenol?
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Just soothes the soul.
Yeah.
It soothes everything.
It's instead of chicken noodle soup that soothes the soul, it's emotional Tylenol.
Yeah.
And then
Tylenol, not sponsored yet.
Yet.
Hipple Win podcast member.
One thing I was a fan of on the field, and I'm not condoning this by any means.
No.
I took this from my first boss in baseball, Doug Marks, shout out, Michigan State grad. He was our head groundskeeper in Winston-Salem.
Sparty on.
We had a 2x4 and some landscape timber posts type base rack contraption down the left field line at Ernie Shore Field. And whenever things weren't going his way, when the baseball gods were not fighting for him and they were fighting against him, he would just go down there and grab a sledgehammer and destroy it. And then he also loved woodworking. And then he
Good
would
man.
Get to rebuild it. And he enjoyed that process.
That's like, that's back that's to very was poetic. Was
huh. Yes.
That is super poetic. That's like a lizard shedding its skin for a new season.
Yes.
Like a spider molt. I'm not painting him in a good light, but I'm having trouble thinking of animals that
you know, people,
are like good that do that. But I think that's really poetic.
People have those little like sand pits
The Zen Gardens,
the
bro.
The Zen Gardens. Yeah. And they rake the rice or sand, whatever it is.
That's why Cam is the groundskeeper.
That's correct.
He just got a Zen Garden, and he was like, you know what? I want to do this on a bigger scale. And now he's here. Look at him.
He plays giant Zen Garden.
That's it. He loves it.
It's a very, sometimes destroying something, right? Punching a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Sometimes that can be a positive. And that was his way of doing it. And again, as you said, he got to rebuild it.
Like, that's so poetic.
Yeah.
I love that. Jade and I have always wanted to do one of those rage rooms where they'll just put like a bunch of like cheap plates and they're like, you have an hour, just break whatever you want.
Yep.
That sounds really cathartic.
It's neat too. Y'all both mentioned walks. Working outside more than the average person does here, not as much obviously as Cam does or as I used to when I was a groundskeeper, but you saw that.
Yeah.
And especially this time of year is when that you pop up, you're mowing, like right now, Cam's mowing, and look up and you see the sponsorship services director walking around. You see the director of sponsorship walking around. You see the ticket salesperson walking around. And you know they're having a day.
It's a rut.
They're having a time, and they're trying to get out of it, and they're clearing the head. And that was... in my mind, not to get too deep here, but that's one of the cool things about being the head groundskeeper is people are coming out to you. They see a value in that much more than just playing a baseball game on it. They're seeing a value of that, which is a pretty cool responsibility as well. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Neat.
That's awesome. All right, Pax, I got one more thing. We just mentioned Cam a bunch of times. You're Cam's roommate.
Yep.
Y'all have a house together.
New washing machine, shout out.
New washing machine. Did that happen?
Yesterday.
Good for y'all. Are you excited?
Sure.
You don't care. Oh, all right. Yeah. That's a bigger deal to, I guess, people like me. I love getting new appliances. I think it's great.
Yeah.
Just, I want a new fridge so
you
bad.
You have joy written all over your face.
I want a new fridge so bad. Anyway, okay. You and Cam are big fishermen. Love fishing.
Yep.
Give me your favorite spot to go in North Carolina, and then give me your favorite story from you and Cam fishing.
Oh, gosh.
And you know which story I'm talking about.
Yeah. So Carr Lake.
Yep.
Carr Lake.
What's the official pronunciation? Can you give me that?
In Virginia, it's called Bugs Island. It's a completely
different name. I love it. No, we're leaving it at that. That's what it is.
It's the largest.
The pronunciation is Carr Bugs Island.
It's either Kerr, or Bugs Island, depending on where you are in the United States.
It's the largest lake in both North Carolina and Virginia, and it sits on the North Carolina-Virginia border. World-class fishery in terms of blue catfish, stripers, bass, crappie, just incredible place. It's depending on where you go on the lake, obviously I said it's the largest lake in North Carolina. Depending on where you go, it could be 40 minutes away, could be an hour and a half away.
Is it the largest lake in North Carolina because of the Virginia elements as well, or just the North Carolina elements?
That's a great question.
I think the beach is technically, like, the ocean's the largest lake in North Carolina, technically. We want to go there.
This is a future press box debate. Downtown Durham.
Yes, are we in downtown?
I think if you're...
When's the weekend start?
The largest lake in North Carolina distinction comes from the total surface area of the lake, not just the surface area of the lake that's in North Carolina.
He's pulling out surface area on you. You're in trouble.
To answer your question.
You're in trouble in this conversation.
And he said he wasn't a numbers guy earlier.
But I'm a fishing guy.
But you're fishing
but
guy.
He's a fishing
yeah.
But I'm a fishing guy.
So, we go up there, take my little 14-foot Metal John boat, go catfishing.
The Pax Toon boat, as I like to call it.
Yeah. John boat.
Your first name's John. Yeah, that would work too. I guess that's better. But keep going. Anyway, sorry.
So we go up there and we fish quite a bit. Last summer, it's probably after like a 12-game and 13-day homestand after 4th of July.
It was in August, I thought. No, was it July? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Cam and I think it was in the middle of the week. It was like a Wednesday. We drove up to Carr Lake just to do some fishing from a pier and just to blow off some steam after having 12 games in 13 days.
Hang out with nature.
Yeah. Just being one.
Be one.
Be one with Mother Nature. So we drive up hour and a half to middle of nowhere on Carr Lake, go to a fishing pier.
That's important, the whole middle of nowhere part.
Yep. See what I did there? A little foreshadowing.
Just really setting the tone.
Yeah. Expert storyteller here.
Great stories. Act 1, 2, and 3.
So we're fishing from the pier.
Act 2.
And we set the time in which we were going to quit fishing and go back home at 11 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, I catch a catfish. Awesome. Yay. Pull the catfish up on the pier. I'm taking the hook out. Cam's standing there with the flashlight because it's dark out. and something bites him. Mosquito, tick, horsefly, who knows? Something bites him and he lets out an audible, like, ouch. Like,
I'm sure that's what he said. Keep going.
Yeah. We're keeping it PG here.
I'm sure it was that four-letter word he said.
Standard, like, groundskeeper talk.
But, like, says ouch in more than just, like, the normal mosquito,
like,
bite.
I'm in a little bit of pain, yeah.
But I'm like, whatever, he's fine. Suck it up.
Yeah, I just got a catfish.
We're leaving.
Can you not
now.
Make this about you for 5 seconds? Yeah.
So between the time of 10 and 11 o'clock, Cam references, you know, the bite that was still hurting. He says just doesn't feel right, doesn't feel good. I chalk it up to it being 99 degrees outside. We probably hadn't drank that much water. So I'm like, he's dehydrated. Like, no big deal. It gets to 10:50, 10:55. And we're like, hey, let's start packing things up. Head back to the truck. Call it a night. And Cam stands up. At this point, he's, like, profusely sweating. Like, more so than it just being really hot out.
More so than normal Cam sweat.
Like, scary sweat. And he's like, I really don't feel good. I'm like, no worries, man. Like, we'll make 2 trips to the truck. Like, you just get back to the truck, get in some AC. You probably just need water and to cool off. He starts walking down the pier and starts stumbling, and then that transitions into a fall.
Yes.
On the pier.
Right.
And I'm freaking out at this point because I know something's not good. Mm-hmm. Cam rolls over, and he's still sweating, a little pale, I would call it. And
Cam's not a big pale guy this summer.
No,
no,
no.
He's groundskeeper, so in the sun a lot.
Texas tan even.
But doesn't look great. Kind of having trouble breathing. So I call 911.
It's my favorite part of that story. Kind of having trouble breathing.
Of all the symptoms that got attention in that description, the whole breathing element got the least amount of attention.
But don't worry, because when he was on the ground looking up into the midnight sky,
I see blue. It looks glorious.
He said he told me he felt better laying down than he did standing up.
Great sign.
I was like,
great sign.
Cam, don't go towards the light, man. Don't go towards the light. So I'm freaking out at this point, having a full on
more fish to catch, buddy.
Having a full on breakdown. So I call 911. First 911 call takes me to whatever county is in the Virginia side of Carr Lake, but we are in the North Carolina side still. So I tell them where we're at, and they're like, you're in North Carolina. We have to transfer you over to yada yada county in North Carolina, which sounds like an actual county in North Carolina after I said it.
Yada yada.
So they transfer me over to the county in North Carolina. I tell them what's up, and they're like, is he breathing? I'm like, kind of. He's not breathing, but he's not breathing normally. And so, like, all right, we'll get a paramedic out there, EMT. I'm like, all right, cool. How long? Because he doesn't look great right now. And they don't really give me a straight answer. They just kind of tell me, help is on the way. No worries. So I hang up. I'm freaking out. But Cam's still just chilling on the ground.
Waiting on the helicopter to land.
If you haven't seen Cam either, not a small dude.
No.
Cam is not a small
dude.
Not
a big land on
the
dock.
He's a big dude.
So I'm just kind of standing there, just like asking him if he's okay. Like, freaking out, and I'm like, all right, there is a park ranger house like half a mile down the road. Like, worst comes to worst, I can just run down there. I don't know what I'm gonna do when I get there.
Yeah,
but like,
right,
it's someone else to help. Maybe 10 minutes go by and I see a flashlight coming through the woods, and it's the park ranger. Ranger Rick is what I normally refer to him in the story. Ranger Rick comes strolling down on the pier, looks at Cam, asks him if he's okay. Obviously he's not. He's call 911.
Yeah, it's not good.
So I guess the paramedic, to back up a little bit, the paramedics had called Ranger Rick for assistance because they knew he was nearby. He asked Cam if he can stand up, and I'm thinking, like, obviously not, or he wouldn't be laying down right now.
Yeah.
But anyways, Ranger Rick stands him up, looks at the bite mark, doesn't see anything, like, too concerning, I guess. And he's like, we should probably walk back to the parking lot, you know, where the paramedics are going to be. I'm like, all right, but this dude, like, obviously fell down because he couldn't walk, and now we have to walk him back to the parking lot. So we walk back through the trail, get to the parking lot, and paramedics actually arrived there very quickly, despite being in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. as well as the entire town of Townsville, North Carolina.
Townsville. Can you imagine?
What are we going to name it?
Townsville.
Which was about 12. Dr. Pepper. Which is about 12 people. Their volunteer fire department and what I would assume was the mayor of Townsville was all out there. It was like big deal for them.
This is the biggest news they've had in months.
So they get them in the ambulance.
And yada yada county.
Yeah. They get him in the ambulance, and paramedics are looking at him for like 30 minutes, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. Finally, they pop out of the ambulance. They're like, we're taking him to the hospital. I'm like, all right, where's the closest hospital? And it's like a 30-minute drive to Henderson.
So hold on, because I'm on the couch watching some ball game. I don't know, watching some show. And I look down. Paxton's calling me. It's like 11:30. What's going on? Answer the phone. Hey, man, you okay? I'm freaking out, man. What happened? I'm falling in an ambulance. Cam fell. He got bit, and he fell. I think he's going to be okay. What do I do? I'm like, you're doing everything right. You're doing exactly what you should be doing right now. Don't panic.
Did you throw the fish back?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
They're big catch and release.
Fish was released and went on to swim another day.
No, fish is still just laying there. Cam's laying by the fish. Fish is laying
by
Cam.
Who was flopping more?
Both of them were looking at each other like, well, this isn't good. Yeah. And then I hung up and Jade was like, is everything okay? Everything's fine. It's good. Everything's
fine. I'm following this ambulance through the woods. We're dodging deer as this ambulance is flying down backcountry roads. I'm driving Cam's truck because he drove.
Two nimble vehicles here, ambulance and Cam's truck.
And Cam's truck.
Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
So we get to
Shout out Sport Durst.
We get to the hospital. I have to hang out in the front lobby for like 10, 15 minutes while they get him set up.
Yep.
They let me back in where Cam is, and he's all wired up and IV'd up. They gave him some strong medication.
That was like at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, by the time we got to the hospital, it was like 12:30.
Yeah.
And I just got a text from him that was like, all good, Cam's on IV.
I remember being slightly annoyed that I had to stay up a little later than I wanted to.
Honestly, same. I was like, I'm not going to go to bed because if Paxton calls me and I need to go down there.
Can't do that. Yep.
I texted Mike and Scott. I'm like, hey, everything's okay, but I'm going to the hospital.
Start. My mom has a big thing about that. If you start a conversation with everything is okay, but automatic panic. Just tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so I text them, everything's okay, but Cam and I are going to the hospital. Cam had an allergic reaction to something. We're at yada yada hospital.
I really want this to be a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're told Cam has to be there for 6 hours before he's able to be released to make sure everything's all good. At this point, it's 12:30 in the morning on a Wednesday night, or I guess it's now Thursday morning. Eventually, they released us at 4:30 in the morning after I'd slept on the hospital floor using a towel as a pillow and a blanket.
More comfortable than the Fuquay couch or less comfortable?
No. Okay. I wish I could say yes, but no. Okay. Drove an hour and a half back to Durham,
Y'all were both at work the next day, right?
Cam was not.
But you came in.
I eventually
at noon.
Yeah, at noon.
Which I was like, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah, I needed to get some. Needed to get some Z's. We just chalked it up to.
But I mean, that's it, to wrap this up. That's a testament to Paxton Rimbus.
That's right.
Ride or die, man.
That's right.
That's how it is. That's Durham Bulls creative right there in a nutshell. I will sleep on the floor of Yada Yada Hospital
in Yada Yada County
to make sure you don't die because we didn't have enough water, and we're in the middle of nowhere.
No. It was not as a result of not enough water.
I think that probably contributed a little bit, Pax.
He was bit by something that he had an allergic reaction to.
Paxton, thanks for being on.
Appreciate it.
I will see you in like 5 minutes when I go back down to my desk to edit this episode. And Scott, you and I will be right back to wrap things up. So that was our interview with Paxton Rimbus. In the 30 seconds between when he just walked out of the room and when we started recording this outro, I got a text from my wife, and it's a video of how to hold a wine glass, where you hold it on the stem. Okay?
Is this because you were accused of not holding a wine glass properly recently?
Sure. We'll go with that. Okay. This is about to head in a different direction.
Okay.
We're in Venice. We were lucky enough to go to Italy.
Not currently.
This past fall. Yes. We were in Venice in November. This would have been November 15th. It was 2 days after we arrived.
Okay.
Had a great meal. It's Italian wine, right? I'm not a big wine drinker, but you're in Italy, so you're going to...
Win
not
in
gonna,
Rome.
Right. Literally, yeah, four days later. Yes, win in Rome. I am twirling this glass in my fingers, okay? Okay. And I just hear crunch, just snapped it in my hand.
Okay.
We had already paid.
Did Ranger Rick have to come help you out?
That's a great question. What do you do if you were there? You don't speak the language. You've already kind of struggled communicating with them through the meal. You've broken one of their wine glasses, but you've already paid. What do you do?
Shoulder shrug.
You kind of look at them Universal. And you're just like, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay, we just left. We just straight up left. Like, I was like,
not that far away from
them. I was like, what are they going to do? And it wasn't like a, I'm leaving because I don't want to get caught in this weird situation thing. It was just like a, me being here isn't going to help this whatsoever. So we start walking. And then I noticed people kind of looking at me funny. What I didn't realize was I had cut my finger really badly, apparently.
Yeah.
And then had started scratching my eyebrow.
Ric Flair
style. Just blood on my face, my hand. I'm walking with Jade. We're walking nervously away from something. So I probably scared some Venetians that day, Scott.
Probably did.
And that's why you listen to Hit Bull Win Podcast.
You could be on a poster.
Welcome to our minor league baseball podcast where we talk about apparently the appropriate place, by the way, because I know people will want to know.
Correct.
Is right at the base. If you're going to hold it in your fingers, hold it by the stem right under the base.
Okay.
So there you go, Scott. The more you know. Scott, we're less than a month from opening day. Are you excited?
Yes.
April 12th. April 12th, opening day. We got a great week planned. Got some championship celebrations. Got a bark in the park. We got some little tiny surprises for opening day that I think will go off really well.
Ring ceremonies?
Ring ceremony, question mark, maybe. I haven't heard a verdict on that, honestly. But yeah, it's going to be a great week. Go to durhambulls.com/tickets. Get your tickets now. Go ahead and get yourself some gear, too. We got a bunch of great new gear in the store yesterday, earlier this week sometime, maybe Wednesday.
Frequent. My brother used to always joke that... you know, from like November 1st through Christmas, my sister-in-law keeps Amazon in business. And the same is true for us right now.
Yep.
Front of the ballpark.
Yep.
Unlimited amounts of deliveries into the ballpark corner store.
Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff coming in. It all looks really clean. You're going to want to get it. I was fortunate enough to go to OT Sports yesterday, who does a ton of our jersey. I think all of our jerseys now.
Yes.
And all of our sponsorship jerseys, or not sponsorship, excuse me, specialty jerseys from the past. They're awesome people over there. Met the dog, Otis. Otis just chills in the factory.
What type of dog?
Lab? A large German Shepherd. And when I say large, I don't mean like tall, muscular. I mean cheeseburger looking.
Lived
boy.
A good life.
Yeah, my man's picking him up and putting him down when it comes to meals. He's not skipping. Really nice dog though. Every time I tried to like get down to get a cool shot of like the colors going into the machine or like the jersey being pulled through the, what, I don't know, the puller, whatever they call it. Otis knows right in the lens.
Awesome.
Just could not wait to be on camera. Awesome. So shout out Otis and OT Sports. I say all that to say, go down to the team shop. We've collabed with them on a lot of good stuff. We've had a lot of good stuff for years.
Does Otis have anything to do with the name OT Sports?
So I asked. I was like, well, actually, I didn't even really ask. They were like, oh, and this is Otis. And they're standing in front of an OT Sports sign. And I was like, and then nobody else laughed. So I don't know if it's intentional or not. I still don't know. We can
this
ask
is good.
Brian. We can ask Brian afterward. Yeah. But tons of great stuff. DurhamBulls.com/shop. If you can't get down here, you know what? You live in downtown. You just want a good walk. Walk on down to the ballpark and go poke your head in the store. Say hi to Brian. Say hi to Emily. Say hi to Caroline. They're good folks. They'll take care of you. Give us a shout out. You know what? You want to come talk to us? Just walk in the store. We'll buzz Scott
We're
down.
Around.
We'll buzz Scott down. All right. That's it for Hit Bull Win Podcast. I'm Patrick. He's Scott. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.